Our children live in a world we wish they didn't live in. They live in a world of seeing bullies. They live in a world of having to make decisions when they see someone steal something. They live in a world that almost desensitizes their conscience. How do we help? We want to help our children do the right thing.
You're listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J. And if you have kids, you most likely have video games in the house. And it is almost impossible to have a video game console and not have some kind of game where you're killing something or someone.
It's a decision you have to make. We didn't have those games. We had great sports games. And one of the fun things about sports games, and we made that decision early on because of the desensitization. There's research when Tipper Gore was very active in Washington, D.C., she really carried a cause of getting the labels on the games, which doesn't matter. So many parents buy them for them anyway. But you get desensitized to other people and the shooting and the killing of other people. And then all of a sudden, wow, we have kids who have no conscience whatsoever because they've done it on these very interactive video games that look so real. And then all of a sudden, they go to school with a weapon in their hand. There was so much research after Columbine on the desensitization of those kids. And all, Columbine brought it out, how many different places children were murdering children that particular, I think it was an 18-month period, I believe, and I don't have these numbers in front of me, and it's not hard to look it up. I believe there were 244 killings in America's schools during an 18-month period, of which Columbine was one of them. And ironically, if you think back then, it wasn't South Central L.A. or Watts or whatever. Paducah, Kentucky, Jonesboro, Arkansas, Edinburgh, Pennsylvania, Springfield, Oregon. I used to be able to do the top 10 because they were Mayberries. And this Harris kid, I think his name was, at Columbine, he actually grew up in a very, very nice home. But he was all alone in a blending family and felt all alone and declared off limits a part of the house that was supposed to be his and had a weapons arsenal in there. But one of the things that it was shown that many of these kids do is these violent video games. Video games are cool. Any of the things that are gifts from God, I mean, think about it. They didn't step out of the garden and have sex. Sex was a gift from God. He actually said, have sex. He said, be fruitful and multiply. Right. But the evil one's going to do that. Money's not bad, but the evil one has made parts of money bad. The internet's not bad. I know a lot of people hate the internet. Wow, I don't have to go to the library anymore. It's awesome. I can do all my research online. But there's sides to it that are. With the good comes the bad. And so there's a discipline involved. The video games, one of the most fun things we did as a father-son was play video games, but we played sports games. We played funny games, you know, Angry Birds games or whatever it was, instead of, you know, these men walking through hallways shooting people. And the fun thing about a child playing a sports game is we had a baseball game and we had a basketball game. I've never won with him. From when he was about 12 years old on, he nailed it. I mean, I couldn't even
find... Was that a decision of yours, though?
No, I never gave in to the win. We played ping pong regularly, and it was a long time before he got the ping pong. We had a ping pong crown that you got to keep if you won, and finally he hit an age where he could take me in ping. He owns the table today at his home. But the video game was great because he was so much better at it, doing it. But I think you have to be careful what's going into your brain and into your brain and into your brain, and at the same time, you can't leave it empty. You know,
right. Fill it up with something.
Something's going in, and so I wanted to plant the word of God, and then I wanted to hear what was going on and ask questions and then draw out the word of God with things like cheating. When he tells me, hey, there's some people cheating on a test. And and how did that make you feel? Made me feel angry. And did it make you feel like cheating? I mean, and he said, well, not really, but I know they're going to get a better grade. They had the whole thing open, but you got the grade you earned. And let me tell you, you do it God's way and you watch how it turns out. You do it the world's way and there will come a time.
I always share the story about when I was in high school and I was in typing class. Remember when they had those?
Oh, yeah.
And everybody would look at the keyboard. And my mom was a very fast typer. And she said, don't look at the keyboard. You will end up winning. Don't cheat because it'll hurt you in the end. And so I thought, I've seen her type. So she must know what she's talking about. All my fellow students would always glance at the keyboard, make sure their fingers are touching the right letters, and decided not to do it. And I came out, not the top of the class, but higher than my other better friends that chose to look at the keyboard. And it was a huge lesson for me. Like, wow. I mean, it was 6 months of going through that process. And so it was really long. But in the end, the grades proved it all. I was a faster typer because I chose, you know, to do the right thing.
It's a perfect example. You chose to listen and trust. If I'm planting the word of God in the heart of my child, there's many times in life where it's not working out, but my child has to trust. It's not working out, but my child has to trust. It's not working out, but my child has to trust. Where all of a sudden they realize in the end, at some point, it did work out.
Yeah.
I trusted God. And that's why he gives us the verse and the warning, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And then there are those. Then comes the warning. And there are those moments. There are those times, there are those long journeys where you start to lean to your own understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not working, doing the right thing. These kids cheated in school. It's not working. How come these bullies keep getting away with bullying everybody in the locker room? It's not working out where you just trust God and do the right thing. And even if somebody's laughing at you when you do the right thing, do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you listen and you look for God. And I remember there would be times when my kids were saying, but God just doesn't seem to be doing anything with this. And they're doing the wrong thing or they're doing this. And they seem to win every time by doing that. Do the right thing. You do the right thing. Run the race set out for you. Do the right thing.
And it does help you out as an adult afterwards, even with other issues that even teenagers deal with, sexual purity. When you get to college, there's tons of cheating, plagiarism that they try to teach you with the free information on the internet. I mean, this runs the whole gamut of life. If you can develop in your child, do the right thing because it's the right thing to do.
But bingo.
Isn't there something deeper than that, though? Because I tell the kids that all the time, but I'm like, there's got to be a little, like a love of God in there or something. Like, why do the right thing?
Well, first of all, I have to know it's a process. You don't just, got it. Thank you for telling me.
Okay.
It's a 20-year process of teaching this and knowing that your father loves your babies more than you do, your heavenly father, and he will take them at their own pace and that everything is training. All of life is a training. But we do the right thing, and it's a very important thing because as they're doing the right thing, my job is to cheer the right thing,
mm-hmm.
and God will take care of the rest. Cheer the right thing. When everybody else is against you, cheer the right thing. And when you don't get invited to the party because you're a good girl, you do the right thing, and I'm so proud of you. And you know what? I know you didn't get it. What do you want to do? We're going to go do something. You reinforce and do the right thing. You reinforce and do the right thing so that they slowly start to get it. And when they're out the door or they're in college in California or in Lexington, Kentucky or wherever. You and Tori were in two different places at one time. When you're out there, then it's not just dad's voice in your head or mom's voice in your head. You're starting to trust God with all your heart. And when this culture called the college campus tries to bend you to your own understanding and you learn, and in every decision you make, acknowledge God's in your life and all your ways, acknowledge him. He's in your life. It boils down to trust. Am I trusting in the moment and in the momentary pleasure or the momentary win? And unfortunately, in our culture, we applaud the momentary win. And parents get so jacked on the sidelines of their momentary performance rather than, I was so proud of you. That was huge. When one of my kids was in a big sports final, county final, and that child, they lost. And one of my children, they played a part in the loss. There was no doubt about that. And we go out to eat afterwards, and the child is distraught, and if I'd adjust whatever, and me saying, but you did your best. I know that doesn't mean anything to you. That's all I can do is my best. You know, you guys saw the very first auction we had at Sheridan House when I did everything I was supposed to do, and Kentucky Fried Chicken donated chicken for 250 people, and it was back in before you guys were born. And me telling them the story that they can't even imagine. And I said, and we had only 6 people show up for the auction, and 2 of them had the last name of Barnes. So there were only 4 other people showed up for the auction on our basketball
with
court.
Chicken for 200
people.
Oh, my
people. Goodness. The boys were at Sheridan House, and we had one home for boys at that time. They were eating chicken forever for just this frozen chicken. But what happened is I did the right thing, and I needed to keep doing the right thing. It won't always include a win, but when it's a loss, there's a training in that.
Mm-hmm.
There's no child on the planet that's going to get that because adults don't even get that.
Yeah.
That's why the verse doesn't say trust in the win with all your heart. Trust in the pleasure with all your heart. It says trust in the Lord with all your heart. And that is the lesson in planting a conscience in their heart and then having them respond and then helping them develop the feeling. Wow, how do you think that person felt when that just happened to them? When somebody just said that to them and stopping something on television. Wow. If that was you, how would you feel? How do you think they just felt right there? That's unbelievable. What would have been the better thing to do? And making life the classroom all the time,
yep.
and helping them learn. And when they make the right decision, cheering for that.
And giving them a little bit of a hint of what you're going through also with your conscience too. If you have situations, say, you know what, this is not going to be beneficial for my career, but I'd rather stay where I'm at and do the right thing.
Because it's the right thing.
Because it's the right thing. Even though, guys, you're probably not going to see benefits from this for another 5, 10 years. Or
yeah.
we might might never see a benefit from it, but I'm still going to do it because at least I have a clear conscience.
I have a clear conscience and I know and I have to develop, and you got to be really old like me to get to this. I imagine my father smiling at this. Oh, son, everybody thinks you had the right motive for that. I know you didn't have the right motive for that. I know you didn't want to do that, but you did it because it was the right thing. And I'm smiling because that was out of obedience. That was out of love for me. That wasn't the best short-term plan for you. And that's how you made that decision. I want to help them imagine this, but it takes a training. And if it doesn't start with the why, there's the why. That's the big question. Why should I do this? Why should I not do this? And if I can't continually answer the question why, then I conform to the pattern of this culture. And the culture says why. Why? Because you win. Why? Because you'll get a good grade. Who cares how you get it? That ends justify the means. Who cares? That's the goal. Performance, performance, performance. That's the goal. Whatever. And it's wrong. The goal is pleasing to God. I know you don't get that. So right now, pleasing to me, I'm cheering. I'm applauding you doing that. I was so proud of you, but Dad, we lost. We lost, but you worked yourself into exhaustion and you did the right thing. And I'm grateful. Mm-hmm. I was so proud of you. In fact, I think I was more proud over the loss than some of the wins that were easy. Giving them a conscience. And when they see bullies doing something at school to somebody, I think you got to step in and you got to say, enough, I'm taking him with me. And when you're having a party and I say, on this list, is there anybody you should have invited that, Dad. Is there anybody you should have invited who doesn't get invited to parties? But he's so dorky or she's so
weird.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't think they get invited much. So I think, what would Jesus want you to do? Oh, I don't even want to have
Dad.
The party now. I don't even want to have the party. Yeah. Or somebody's stealing something and you have to decide what's the right thing, or everybody but you. Mm-hmm. When do you walk? When do you walk away and say, I will not be a part of this? Mm-hmm. When do you walk away? Or a conscience that says to you, this is the wrong party for me to be at. And then having compassion for the people, you know, the right from wrong, wrong party, it's going south quickly. And then have the compassion to feel for the people around you, you know, shouldn't be here, but they don't have the courage to walk from the party. And then show the mercy. Come on, we're going. We're leaving. We're going to my house to have a party. That took about 4 years to develop in the life of my children, where they knew. They knew the conscience, they just didn't have the courage to do the right thing in front of others. And then the compassion for people around you and saying to one of my children, what you did, you called me to come and get you. That was awesome. And there may be one more thing to do to add to it, but I don't want to discuss that now. I just want to say that was awesome that you called me. Thank you for calling me. And even when my child said, yeah, but if I didn't call you, you would have come because you always came to the parties and walked in and you would have seen it and I would have been punished. Yeah, but you made the right decision. And I'm so proud of you right now. We're having a very different discussion than we would have had.
But it's almost like you have to be so much more of a better cheerleader than the cheering that they'll get when they make the wrong decision.
Oh, good statement. Really good statement. You're exactly right.
Because it's, I mean, you know, and your cheering as a parent is so different to your child than the cheering of their peers, especially once they get to middle and high school. All they want is to be accepted by their peers. I mean, that's life for them. And they come home and you cheer for good things, but they're still torn.
They're torn, but I don't think we realize the power of a parent. I think some children have so given up on, does my parent think I'm doing well? I think they've so given up, and we're such perfectionists. And I think when we cheer and continue to cheer and we say the words, and I got to tell you, I'm going to throw a number out. I have no idea, but I bet you 80% of the American males are still waiting for their dad to say, I'm very proud of you.
Mm.
And I had to get past that and realize my father's proud of me because he knows I didn't want to make that decision. I made it totally for him. How could I do such a thing and sin against God?
Mm.
So I think we can turn the corner. We can cheer. When your child makes a conscience decision, a decision to do right when others are doing wrong, and then maybe even takes it to the next level and has compassion for the people around them. When your child encourages somebody who no one wants to hang with, when your child makes a statement that no one would have made, and setting that example, and you hear about it, or your child tells you, say, how's school? You look a little sad. Well, you know, I was the only, something happened to so-and-so, and I said, you know what? That was a great try. I know you struck out, but that was a great try. That was great. And no one else does that, and your child feeling like, I can't believe I did that in front of everybody. You did the right thing. That was a home run for you that day. Do the right thing.
You're listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J. If you want to find out more about Sheridan House Family Ministries, go online to shfm.org. A lot of great parenting resources that support the ministry, and you can even support it directly financially, shfm.org. To hear this program again, share it, or even sign up to get sort of a summary of the program in the form of an email blog every day, you can sign up for that at parentingtoday.org. We hope you'll join us tomorrow as we wrap up this topic of developing a conscience in my child here on Parenting Today.